Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. And because it's a Wednesday, it means it's an opportunity for us to connect with Leith Anderson. Leith is a Christian leader, author, professor, pastor, longtime pastor at the Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and now serves as the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And we always appreciate the opportunity to talk about the church and culture and issues of faith. And Leith, I wanted to just start out our conversation today. Last week, I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I was just kind of amazed again at the multitude of sessions. There was one on the unfinished task, you know, showing the millions around the globe who haven't even heard the name of Jesus. And then there's sessions on reviewing increased restrictions on religious freedom, talking about how to be salt and light in Hollywood, promoting pro-life causes, etc. And I thought, you know, it's so hard to focus on what is of maybe primary importance or most urgent, and maybe those don't always go together. It'd be interested in your thoughts. How do we actually align our lives and priorities according to biblical priorities? What does that look like?
Those are big and important issues, and they're actually big and important to me and to the National Association of Evangelicals. But I'll give you my personal opinion. And for me, the number one priority is evangelism, that Jesus' great commission is to make disciples, and that extends for all of eternity. Not other things that are important, but to me that is top importance, top priority. And you know, when you say, you know, how do you prioritize? How do you rate it? And I know this is an explanation that sort of has some defects in it, but I think of myself as sitting down with Christians in other centuries or in other parts of the world and saying, what do you think is most important as a committed follower of Jesus Christ? And I think where we would agree is on evangelism. You know, Jesus was in a tumultuous political time. My goodness, the first century in Judea and Galilee, tough issues, Roman taxes and racial and ethnic tensions and sexual ethics. But he always kept his eyes on the cross and on our salvation. And to me, that's top of the list.
Leith, I'm just curious, for you personally, what does that look like? How do you evangelize and share the truth with others, maybe even strangers in like a public setting, a store or something like that?
I want to begin where they begin. I don't want to start saying, let me tell you what I had to say. I want to hear them out, and I want to talk about what they want to talk about. But as I was praying this morning, we live in a really troubled world, and one of the New Testament words is frequently used is being saved or salvation. And Jesus Christ is the only answer to the problems and the mess that we have in the world. So I'd like to bring it around to that conversation, and I seek to do it, but I seek to do it in a way that communicates where they're starting out, but not where I want them to end up.
You know, in light of that, you know, living in these kind of troubled times, obviously lots of last week conflict continues, I guess, in terms of the president, and there were some protests or some marches and some counter marches. And so I'm reading Ephesians recently and noted Paul talking in Ephesians 3:17 about being rooted and grounded in love. And, you know, Paul didn't say being rooted and grounded in courage or conviction or in truth. And, you know, he goes on the next couple of chapters and gives this list of ways that we can walk worthy and have humility and live in purity and all those things. But I'm just wondering, do we understand as believers what it means to be rooted and grounded in love? And how should that inform the rest of what we do and say?
Those are words that we use in everyday language. You know, if you have a garden, you know what it means to be rooted. And if you have any electrical circuit, you know what it means to be grounded. So what is basic? What's primary? What's bedrock? And it's love, that God loves us, that we are to love him, we're to love others. So I want to always start there. Even people I don't like, don't agree with, I want to start there. And it doesn't mean we condone sin. You know, I thought, if I'm serving on a jury, I have a biblical responsibility to love the defendant, but I can still vote guilty. I can still send that person to prison. But I've got to always begin where the Bible begins, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You know, it's kind of interesting. I sent out a tweet just recently, and quoted a verse from the Bible that says that we're to love immigrants, and suggested in that tweet that that's where we start. And then from that biblical command to love immigrants, then we decide our policy and our politics. My goodness, I had some critics who used, I won't even tell you what they said, they used words I don't want to tell you, out of a call to do what the Bible says and love other people. So, yeah, that's where we've always got to start.
Oftentimes we need to get refreshed in the Word before we can continue sharing the truth and the hope with others, too. And I'm just curious for yourself, Leith, and maybe some encouragement for others that are looking to remain rooted and grounded in love and to flourish in that, and rooted and grounded in Christ, rather. What do you do, or do you have maybe a particular aspect of the Bible that you like to go to that's more invigorating for you, or maybe something you've taught on recently?
So, what's my favorite part of the Bible?
Yeah, sure. What's your favorite part of the Bible?
Yeah, we're prioritizing today, so we want to know, what's number one?
Okay, well, you know, my fear is you're next going to ask me which one is of my four children are my favorite.
Yeah, right.
Sure. And then my greatest fear is, who am I going to like better? Is it going to be Neil or Ted?
Yes, well, that's, yes. It's the pressure's ratcheting up.
I know the answer to that. That's
okay, so, you know, as a pastor, I've always loved reading and teaching the Gospels. It's the story of Jesus, and I like it better than any other part of the Bible because it's about Jesus Christ, and I'm a Jesus follower. I'm a Christian, and I always found and still do find that when you read the stories of Jesus, not only were they amazing for then and truly amazing, but they all connect to where we are and what we're doing today. They are so relevant. So, and where do people start? You know, if somebody doesn't know the Bible at all, I usually tell them to read Mark first. And I think that's pretty commonly done around the world. I think in America, in the church, we often say read John first, but Mark's a little bit easier to read than the other three Gospels, so I think that's a good place to begin.
You know, speaking of pastoring, you pastored for 35 years just at Wooddale Church. Did you end up going through, I assume that you repeated a series or two over the course of those 35 years, any recommendations to pastors, maybe preaching through maybe a gospel book again if they've done it already a couple of times, or a passage? What did you do when you were repeating something?
Neil, I don't know that I'm offended by the assumption that I repeated things. There seems to be an implication here that I repeated sermons, and I didn't. I actually, 35 years, I did not repeat the sermon. Oh, too many. Too many people that have good memories and take detailed notes.
It's
kind of hard to get away with that. You know, of course, if I did, for example, a series of sermons, which I did, on Mark or on John, which might have taken a year or two or three to get through them all, and then the next Easter, I'd still be able to go back to that part of the gospel story or go to the Christmas story in Matthew or Luke, even though I'd preached through that. But the Bible's an amazing book. It's got a lot to work with, and 35 years is nowhere near enough time to cover it all.
Good word. Mm-hmm. All right, Leith, I know that the latest survey, the Evangelical Leader Survey that NAE puts out on a monthly basis, this time talked about religious freedom is for non-Christians, too. I know you mentioned that the issue of immigration is still a major concern. Religious freedom is a primary concern as well. Just highlight a little bit of what that means, the survey results.
It is a big concern, and back to evangelism, I think it's a big concern for evangelism, because where there is religious freedom, we have the freedom then to present the gospel, and I think the gospel is persuasive against any other argument or religion. Yeah, the question that was asked in the monthly survey was, do you support the same religious freedom protection for people of non-Christian faiths as for Christians? And this is a lot of evangelical leaders, and we got a 100% yes response. That is a rare thing. Everybody agreed. And it's, of course, supporting the First Amendment. But it was really interesting that missions leaders pointed out that when we send missionaries to countries that don't have religious freedom, we ask them to give Christians religious freedom, and that we need to do, the same thing in our country. The right of Jews to have a synagogue or Muslims to have a mosque. I mean, those are clear examples. And I know there are limits to this and there are challenges. Jehovah's Witnesses refuse to take blood transfusion as a religious conviction, or what comes in prisons and workplaces and schools. It's challenging. But we want the government to always tilt to the side of religious freedom, even though obviously sometimes there must be limitations.
Grateful for the leadership of the National Association of Evangelicals. And I know, Leith, you just mentioned immigration. The president is reworking that immigration stay. And this clearly has become kind of a hot button issue, apparently, for many of those that are responding to your tweet, nothing else. Just maybe just summarize again where the gospel falls in this whole area of understanding and caring for those that are refugees and immigrants.
It's a complicated issue, and we estimate about 65 million refugees in the world today, the most since World War II. And I think we need to do our part, but it's only our part. We can't obviously help everybody, but we need to join with the rest of the world. As Christians, we're into saving people. That's what we do. But it's got to be in a measured and a careful way. So I'm all for having careful laws and regulations, but it needs to start out with love for the refugee and love for the immigrant and doing everything we can for people who are facing often enormous persecution and threats in the places from which they come.
Leith Anderson joining us today. He's president of the National Association of Evangelicals, a longtime pastor and a Christian leader and author. You can find out more about the great work of the National Association of Evangelicals on the website nae.net. Leith, always good to visit with you. Look forward to our next conversation.
And thanks and blessings.